Okay, we continue in the Bavavi, page Reish Chav Hey. At the bottom, we've begun Perek Chav Beis, the 22nd chapter, which is called Ava She'ena Tluya B'dover, a love that doesn't depend on anything, which is the highest level of love. And we're discussing, we began it just briefly yesterday, of what part of you is supposed to be loving Hashem. And we discussed there is one, that there's three parts to you, the outer parts of you, those are the limbs of your body, and then there's the inner parts of you, the inner utensils, which is the heart, the mind, the liver, and then the greatest depth within you, which is the soul. So therefore, when we talk about loving Hashem, there's all kinds of different levels. So there's the love that is so strong that it comes from the soul and reaches to the most external parts of the body, where, as it were, the body parts on their own are stimulated to do the will of Hashem and feel this love for Hashem, which is an extremely high level. So let's continue, though, and get to the little bit lower than that. Bottom paragraph, non reish chaf hei. Ava hatluya bedover, a love that depends on something. Kiven shehalev, hu lev shel adam, since the heart is a human heart, and that which the heart recognizes is that which is still, for that it is still called external, in relationship to the neshama's recognition. A love that comes from the heart is even a love that depends on something. My heart, I have deep feelings for you, dear. I love you with all my heart, but it's coming from the heart, and there's real feelings. There's feelings of genuine love for this other person that is still a love that depends on something, as we will explain. Im hu margish shehu mekabel, if he feels that he is receiving something, hu ohev, he loves. V'in einu margish shehu mekabel, but he doesn't feel like he's getting anything, yafsik love, he will stop loving. Right? What are you going to do if your spouse stops cooking you supper? I've decided I'm not going to make you supper anymore. Why? It just felt like it. I'm not doing any more carpools. I'm not going to stroke your ego anymore. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to stop receiving. You're going to stop loving. Believe it or not, you're going to stop loving. So as much as you were in love with the person while they were doing all those nice things for you, right? So this is not what we think is real love. It's only tluya bedover, even if it's coming from the heart. Next page, Reish Chavav. Now we come to the very difficult part. Now, so hold on to your hats. Ha'ava amitis, true love, she'ena tluya bedover, doesn't depend on anything. Avas Hakadosh Baruch Hu be'emes, the love of Hashem in truth. He ava hanimtzis b'neshama. It's the love that's found in the neshama. It comes from the neshama. Oh yeah, we're going back to that neshama again. That neshama that we have no handle on. That neshama that we cannot feel. But that's where the love that doesn't depend on anything is coming from. Lo avas b'chitzonius shebeguf. Not a love that's from the outer utensils of the physical body. V'lo rak ava b'lev. And not just a love in the heart. El ava b'neshama sheshoyre b'leiv. But the love that is in the neshama, the deepest part of the person, that happens to reside in the heart, but it's beyond the heart. Keshenishmas ha'odam nimtzas etzlo. When the soul of the person is found by him, when you recognize your heart, v'chash oso, when you feel it, u'mechuber imav v'hiskadlos, and in an openly revealed way, you become attached to your neshama, only then is it possible to have a love that doesn't depend on anything else. Without connecting to your souls in the deepest way, which is what this whole book is trying to teach us what to do, you will never come to the level of loving for something that doesn't depend on anything. And he will explain. Here is the difficult part here. When we talk about this world concepts, Hakol toli bedover, everything depends on something. in this physical world, it all depends on something. Ein dover tmidi kan ba'olam. There's nothing that's constant in this world forever. Nothing. Ha'olam hazeh hu olam shel tahapuchot. This world is a world of tapuchos, upheaval, change. Pam kan, pam sham. One time it's here, one time it's there. Pam nifradim, sometimes things are separated. Pam mechuburim, sometimes things are connected. Pam ben nimtza imaviv. There's a time when the son is found by his father. L'racha mikan ha'av mistalek, and then after time, the father leaves. And you never see him again. Klaimer. Or for a long period of time. Meaning to say, ha'olam hazeh hu olam shel chiburim. This world is a world of connectedness. Aval chiburim lizman, but the connection is only for a limited amount of time. Zohi ava hatluy b'dover. This is a love that depends on something. V'hi ava sheyesh lo bitul. And that's a love that can be nullified. It can be disconnected. It goes so far. Besfar Makadoshi Muva, in the holy writings, it says, Shebemakam hagavo b'Gan Eden, in the high place of Gan Eden, ein musag shel avu ben. There's no concept of father and son. There's no concept of relatives. Okay, now this is a very deep concept to understand over here. Not in the way that we understand it. In other words, the love that a parent has for a child, which is a strong love, or a child has for a parent, that relationship that we feel here is not the relationship, that will not exist above. Not the way we understand it. Not the way we understand it. Okay, it's there, and really in a deeper way, but not the way we're expecting it to be. Why? Ki amusag avu ben shonu makirim, because the concept of father and son that we recognize, hu machmas achibur shegufim, because it's only because of a physical connection. Even remember, even if it's in the heart, that's only physical. It's not a neshama connection. Right? Ha'av holidas beno, the father fathered his son. So consequently, that relationship is only in terms of the body. Now he says in the brackets, there is one, a soulful connection, but that's a very deep one, and we're not generally in tune with that one. Only by Yaakov and Yosef, where it says, v'nafsho kshura b'nafsho, his soul is bound with his soul. That they were able to have a real olam haba relationship even here. Very rare, very rare. So this idea, and you know, that this love that we have for our children, this connection, it's only a physical kind of a thing. You got to wait a little bit. We've got to read a bit more before we can comment yet. But it's only physical. It only lasts as long as you're alive. And when the person leaves, it's I'm very sad to tell you, person dies, they're dead, they're gone, and most important, they are really forgotten in a great way. Not totally forgotten, because he's going to bring you a chazal very shortly. But they're gone. And life goes on. And you can live with a person. And we'll have to wait. There's a very important source coming up. I know it's coming up. I read it yesterday. In the next page or so. It's coming up very shortly. And he's going to prove that. He's going to prove that. Right, but whatever way you understand this world, it is in a very superficial way. It is not in a real way. And you will, and the only reason there is this connection at all and this love at all is because it's depending on something. It's depending on something. Parent loves a child. I'll give you an example. Mother gives birth to a baby boy. And they bring you the baby boy. Oh, I love him. I love him. And you're hugging him and kissing him and crying and you're loving him. And then they say, Mrs. Schwartz, oh, we're sorry, we have to take the baby away. Why? We made a mistake in the kindergarten, in the nursery. We gave you the wrong baby. Your baby's coming. Really? But I've been hugging and kissing him for the last 3 hours. Sorry, what was he even Jewish? No, he was a goy. What were you loving? What were you loving? I guess you're not going to love that kid anymore, are you? Well, because he's not my kid. And are any of the kids your kids? And the real one you have is your kid? It's also Hashem's kid. So, as long as you're with the child, as long as you're connected with the child, as long as the child is yours, right? And then that love, you know, it will change. The love for children it's going to be a different love. When they need you and this and that, you love them. When they don't need you, like, what happens? And they go away, and what happens? And as much as you say you love them, it's not the same. Oh, I love you. I'm your mom. I always will love you. It's not the same. It's not the same. You're not making dinner for him anymore. You're not doting over him anymore. It's different. And the more out of sight he'll be, the more out of mind. Your kid decides to move away to Australia and you see him once every 5 years, don't deny it. The love goes down. It has to, because you're not doing anything. You know, we say the words, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Because it depends on, we have to be together. You know, every day I make you supper, every day I make you lunch, I'm giving for you, and part of me is going into you. Right? And it's there. And what if the kid says, bug off, go to hell. And I hate you. Doesn't reciprocate at all. You know, we'll say, well, I'm a father and you're my child. You'll always be my child. Yeah, that's true. But let's be honest. I'll always love you. What are you loving? You know what? You're just being loyal. There's nothing to love anymore. Right? Because it really depended on something. It really depended on something. And the kid can do things that you'd throw the kid out of the house. What if the kid has lots of chutzpah? And really tells you where to go. And does everything that you disdain the most. You're not going to love that kid. You're not. No matter what you're saying. Now, the kid will say, I'm sorry, and come back. You'll take him back. But he says, I'm not sorry. And you have to take me as the bum that I am, and I don't care, and I'm going to make your life miserable. It's you're not really loving them. And even if you're saying it, it's just, don't fool yourself. It's not true. You could be very disappointed in them. You have a lot of heartache from them. Right? But it's not there. It's not there. It's all dependent on, is there some kind of reciprocation? If there's no reciprocation, you know, you might be the loyal parent and you stick with them and you suffer with them. But if they totally don't want to have anything to do with you, there can't be love there. It just can't. And you can't deny it. And it's painful because you want there to be love there and there isn't love there. Right? So that's, but the fact that you are a father, a mother, and when they come back and they say, you know, I'm really sorry, I've lacked the Shmo for the last 30 years, you'll take them back. You'll take them back, because now they're willing to start again. You won't say, no, I can't forgive you anymore. No, I am your father, I will always forgive you. But I can't love you if you're not around. What do we love, this memory? It's hard to be in love with a memory. You know, and this is very hard, because you know, when you're in Shiva houses, we don't talk this way. We don't talk this way. If you talk this way, they're going to fall apart. And they say, well, will I see my father when I go up there? Yeah, you'll see him. You know, and I don't elaborate. I don't elaborate. Because no point in elaborating. Yeah, you will, but not the way, you know, not the way, you know, we'll go watch hockey games together. You know, like, it ain't going to be. There is a much deeper connection that we can't begin to explain, because the person himself doesn't even know his own neshama, let alone how his neshama is relating to his father's neshama. They have no clue as to what that is. So they have no idea what this is, and it's not going to be the fun love that you think it is. It's something much different than much, you know, they wouldn't be able to translate it. Right. Now, he's going to prove in a second. Where am I now? Neshama zoicha lehis nasek legamri mirikshas shaguf. If the neshama could merit to totally separate itself from the physical feelings, which generally only happens after death, or for some unique individuals in this world. Once that neshama is taken away from that leash, hichayim mitzad atzmusa, it lives in and of its own essence. It's its own being now. Ha'av ein ha'av, the father isn't the father. Ha'bein ein ha'bein, the son isn't the son. Yesh av u'bein mitzad neshama, there's a father and son in terms of the neshama. Avol zeh kvar talich achay, that's a whole different pathway that we don't even know what it is. Avamitis, and that's the true love. Shilamala migidre elamazeh, that's beyond the definitions of this world. Because it's a soulful definition, it's beyond this world. Kipshuta, as the simple understanding is. And no matter how much you love your kids, it's only a body love. It's not a neshama love. It's not a soul love. And don't say it is, because nobody still has gotten in contact with the neshamas. So don't say your neshamas are loving your kids' neshamas, because you don't even know where your neshama is yet. Right? We don't know. Only by Yaakov and Yosef. Benafsha, Kshura, Benafsha. There were two titans. They were able to connect in a real soulful way in this world. You know, great, great people. So what could I show have? Yeah, you know, we eat supper together, we have good times together, warm, fuzzy feelings. We're around the Hanukkah candles. Ooh, took pictures. I'm not saying that's nothing. That is an ava, shetluya b'davar. It depends on something. And it's very good, and we're supposed to have that. And if we didn't, we would be very cruel people. And, oh, just love being with the children and this and that. That's true. But it is not a permanent, this love will not be forever. In the next world, there ain't going to be no Hanukkah candles. Ain't going to be no latkes. Ain't going to be, you know, playing bingo. It's not there. It's a whole different way of existence, which you don't know about. So this is, any relationship in this world is temporary. The way we understand the relationships. And any relationship in this world is dependent on the fact that there's something in it for me. That's what it's all about. The love that only way I will love someone if there's something in it for me. You know, like, you know, you gotta be honest. If your spouse goes comatose for 20 years, don't tell me you love them. There's not, that person's giving you nothing back. You know, you might be dutiful, but you're not, you know, there's nothing to love anymore. And now comes the clincher where it proves it. He says, "Kol ava shi mitzad madrega sholem hazeh," any love that's based on any level in this world, or the bottom of Reish Chavav, any love that depends on any attribute of this world, he ava tluya b'davar, it's a love that depends on something. V'yesh lo zman katsuv, and it has a set amount of time, and not longer than that. Zman mesuyim yesh lo kiyum. For a certain amount of time, it will endure. L'rachem ikan, but after that, mispatelas ava, the love will be gone. L'pamim zman akiyim aruch. Sometimes, the time that it will endure will be a very long time. You can have people that are married 60 years. L'pamim hukatzer, and sometimes it's very short. Avosov kol sof, at the end of the day, and here is the Chazal. And when Chazal says something, it's an immutable law of nature. It's not just one rabbi's opinion, there's a machlokas. It's an immutable law of nature. And the law is, gzera al hames sheishtakech min alev. It's a decree, a heavenly decree, that when somebody dies, the survivors, that person who died, will be forgotten from the heart. Now, what it doesn't mean you forget them totally as if they didn't exist. That's not what it means. But you know, you go to a shiva house, and the almana is there, and she was married to the husband for 60 years, and she says, "I don't know how I can live. I'm gonna die. I can't carry on." Okay, so that's true. She feels that way because of the trauma. But the truth of the matter is, you know, unless we're dealing with very sick people, unless we're dealing with emotionally disturbed people, but normal people, which still most people I think are still in the normal range. So at the time of death and the time of Shiva, they don't see how they can continue. But they don't realize the resilience of the human being, and that God has given and built into the nature of every human being that after a certain amount of time, and it's usually a year, you're able to continue to live without that person. And guess what? You even remarry another person. Believe it or not. It may not be the same as before, but it will still be companionship, and you can still have a simcha sachayim, and you can enjoy life, and there's no reason why you can't. So now what happened? And it's one of the sad analyses of life. Here you had this husband, this wife that gave everything, and there was so much love. And now all that's left are these, you know, fond and distant memories. And it's pleasant memories. But that feeling isn't there, can't be there anymore, because you're not eating breakfast with them. Even if it's a beautiful type of a love, you know, we're not talking about such an external love. It's a love from the heart. And we just love being together and all that. But that only is going to help while you're together. Once you're not together anymore, you know, life has to go on. And, you know, and this is, you know, some of these wives, you know, they say to the husband, so when I die, are you going to remarry? Will you be able to remarry? Now, of course, the answer is yes, and I'll continue to have a good life. But a lady can't hear it. They can't hear it. They just can't hear. What are you talking about? How can you live after me? The answer is because Hashem decreed it as such.
It's just that. It's different for women.
No, no, no.
Women don't get married as fast.
You know what? It's the same decree. It's the same gzera. It's the same gzera. Now, they can't get married because it's harder to get married. But believe me, if there was a lot of offers there, they would. They would. Maybe take a little longer than the guy, but they could remarry. But that doesn't matter. So, but not 50 years. You know, and you see a lot of these chicks, man, not too later after the husband's gone, they're having a good time. Right? And there's nothing wrong with it. And here's the point. Here's the point. This is another one of these mishigasim. You get this from watching television and movies. You know? There's nothing wrong with enjoying your life after your spouse dies. Who said that? You must mean you didn't love the spouse so much. If you, after a year, can continue with your life, well, you know, you really didn't love your wife. You know, you have like this Italian idea where the women who are the almonas, they dress in black the rest of their lives. My life is black. Should your life be black? Hashem loves you. Hashem wants you to live with simchas achayim. He wants to live with simchas achayim even when the person you love is dying. You have to live with simchas. You have to. You have to live with simcha all the time. So the person dies. So Hashem said, I understand. And now you have shiva. And there's different levels. There's aninus. There's the most intense grief. And then there's the first 3 days. And then there's the week. And yes, you're not ready to go out into this world. And you need therapy. And you got to get over this because you live a life of illusion. And you thought that person, the way you know them, is real. And it's not. And then it takes you a month. But after a month, that's it. The shiva's, the mourning's over. Only for parents to show respect, we do it a whole year. But after a month, it's over. And I'll be halacha. If halacha says the way it is, then that's the way it is. In spite of what you want to feel. When the halacha says that when a man dies, a woman after 3 months is allowed to get married. And when a woman dies, a man after 3 holidays can get married. That's halacha. Lo tov heyos adam levado. It is not good for a human being to live alone. Hashem says it's not good. When it's not good, it means you can't be close to me if you're alone. So now, you feel angry and upset and lonely and this and that. So Hashem says, you're in a not good state. Go get married again. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Ratzon Hashem. And why is the Ratzon Hashem? Because that's what's best for you. That's why it's the Ratzon. And we are more clever than God. And said, no, I can't do it yet. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. Because you're clutching on to the past that doesn't exist anymore. And that's hard. It's hard for people to live with that. What do you mean? We're married for 50 years. You expect me to live with somebody else? Yes. That's the reality. Well, that means I'm being cruel to my... Who are you being cruel to? Your spouse is dead. The body's already rotted out. And her neshama's in Shemayim already. And in Shemayim, she knows the emes. And the emes is she knows you're supposed to get married again. She knows that. The wife who was telling you all those years, you know, you're never going to marry another girl, right? That was her foolish body. That was the narishkeit of the person. That wasn't the emes who your wife was. Oh, my wife's going to, she's going to want, because she's in Shemayim, she knows the Ratzon Hashem. It's Ratzon Hashem, she can get on with your life. To the degree that we can't accept that when we die, our spouse can enjoy their lives, to that degree it's a lot of narcissistic love that only depends on something. If you really, really loved somebody, you'd say, I want you to live a normal life after I die. And normal life means you live with another woman. Oh, I can't imagine him sleeping with another woman. Why not? You're dead. What do you want the guy to do? You know, and, so, and this is all, everything I'm telling you is logical. You know that's logical. You know that's emes, right? Because to live in the past, nobody lives in the past. Now, we don't say you remember, which is a wonderful person. It's an idea of a yahrzeit, and you give kavod and you give respect. You do things l'ilul nishmasa, right? But you don't live in the past. Nobody lives. You live in the present. You have hakaras hatov, and you tell the children, you know, you still have to remember your mother fondly because it's a mitzvah of kibud eim, even after they're not alive. There's a mitzvah because God says you have to remember what you are is because what your mother put into you, and you have to always speak when you mention her name. You have to say, Olah Shalom, your peace should be upon her. Like we learned from Rav Miller, you have to be Makar Tov. She should be in a Lichtika Gan Eden because that's the Hakaras HaTov you have for the mother because that's where she is now. And even the husband can say it. And to the person whom he gets married to, that person can allow him to say that his first wife can be in a Lichtika Gan Eden. And you don't have to say, I don't want you ever to talk about your first wife again. That would show great immaturity too. What, are you jealous of the wife who's dead? What's wrong with you? She's dead. She's in a Lichtika Gan Eden. Why, you can begrudge her the Lichtika Gan Eden? Is there any competition now? There's no competition. And realize what you can do and what you can't do. And what your relationship is. And even your relationship now is only temporary. Now, the sooner we get that, our heads wrapped around that, the sooner we're going to realize what reality is. And that there is much deeper relationships still yet to cultivate in the love that doesn't depend on anything else. Now, this is, again, these aren't the kind of things you talk about in a shiva house. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. A person can't handle this kind of talk. Can't handle this kind of talk. But that is the emes. No matter what love you have, it is all dependent. It's dependent on us being together on this planet. Depending on us being connected together. But ultimately, it's a gzeirah lamei shishtachich min alev. God has decreed it that you will forget that person. Now, forget means you will be able to live a happy life without this person. If you're following the Torah's dictates and you understood why you got married to begin with, then you should be able to do this. You know, it's painful, but as time passes, so, you know, some will take a little more, some will take a little less. But generally we'll see, a year, that's the maximum. That's what it says. It says, V'afilu avas av libno avas ish le'ishto. Even the love that a father to a son, or for that matter, a mother to a daughter, or the love of a man to his wife. Shein l'chura misuga ava chazak b'yoser. That's the level of the strongest loves that depend on something. By lamas in this world, mikal makam achar p'tir, but still after death, kishovrim yud beis chodesh, 12 months pass, nishkach hameis min alev, the dead one is forgotten from the heart, meaning to say that we can live a normal, healthy, balanced life. And you've had a year to get over it. And you move on. And that's the only healthy way to live. Because you can't love someone who's dead. It's not real. It's illusionary. It's an illusion. You're trying to hold on to something that doesn't exist anymore. That's not the Jewish definition of love. You're not at one with that person. Not on the body level, not on the heart level. Only in the neshama level that you don't even understand yet. You don't even understand what that neshama level is. You haven't lived on that neshama level. And in the next world, God will re-educate you and your spouse to get acquainted to the neshama levels, and that relationship will be nothing that you can even compare it to in this world. When you're going to be exposed, so can we go out for a nice romantic walk on the beach? God says, are you crazy? What is that? There's no beaches here. So then that you have to begin to learn what your deepest essence is and how that deepest essence was connected to your spouse. A whole different relationship that you don't even know, you don't even have an inkling of what it means. So yeah, you'll be with them. but not in the way we sit together and joke around the campfire and do this. Warm, fuzzy feelings. There's no such thing as warm, fuzzy feelings in Olam Haba. It's a different reality. It's a reality that's there. Now, while you're in this world, God says you live in this world and you show love the way in this world love is shown. Right? Of course, you say kind words and you give compliments and what, you know, all the things that make, spend time together. But no, it's very short this way. Now, he's going to talk later on what the ultimate, you know, deeper relationship to husband and wife is, right? But that's reality. It all depends on something, and that's the healthy, natural way to live. You loved your spouse; she's gone, the love is gone, and that's it. It's not there anymore. She can't give you back anything. Why do you love this person? Why? Well, she keeps me company. I feel good being around her. Those are nice reasons. Nothing wrong with that. You know, she's such a wonderful person. I just love her smile. Just love being next to her. Good. But now she's not around anymore, so what's there to love? Well, I used to love being next. She used to be next to me. That's the past, man. Now you have a karas hatov, and you remember, because of her, she made me the mensch that I am, and she made tikkunim in me, and I appreciate her, and, you know, look forward to seeing her in the next world. And getting reacquainted on a deeper level. But man, you got to find another woman to love. Because you got to live with love. If you don't have any love, you can't live. You're going to be a sour person. You're going to be a sour person. And I can never. No, you can. And you can even maybe love even better. Who knows? And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing. No one's upset at you. You know, you have the problem. You have these in-laws and the way that people look. And they go, look, the wife's barely, she's body's still warm in the grave and he's looking around. You know, it's not an Irish kite that people have. What do you want? God said it's not good for a person to be alone. So what do you want? What do you want? You want to argue with God? Person's used to living with a spouse. No? That's a normal way to live. Doesn't have a spouse. He's not living normally. What do you want? No, suffer. You know, if you suffer, that means you loved her. No, if you suffer, you're an idiot. That's what it means. Does God want you to suffer? Yeah, the more you suffer. There's this equation in life. The more people suffer, the more it shows they love. You know, I'll make a bar mitzvah a mile out, an hour out of town, so you'll schlep an hour to my bar mitzvah, an hour back. That'll show how much you really respect me. You know, there's this inconvenience level that people wrongly equate with love and kindness and this and that, and not with mishigasim. You know, you love someone, you do for someone, you go out of your way for someone, you love someone, they come late from work, you don't yell and scream at them, that's love. There's a lot of work involved in a love relationship, no question about it. But unnecessary suffering is ridiculous. There's, Chazal say, you cry your heart out. For a week. That's the time to cry. You're supposed to cry. And for a month. And even during the year. But then when the time's up, the time's up. And if you don't see yourself getting out of it, then there's something wrong with you and you need therapy. You need Torah therapy. You're not, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, my uncle of a show, was a Holocaust survivor. You can't have any criticisms. After my father died, his brother died, that was it. He died. He died. He was alive for another 13 years. He became an old, miserable man. Because his whole life was invested in my father. They were the only two surviving family members in the Ganze Mishpacha from Europe. Right? And whatever, you know, their relationship was stronger than their marriage relationships. Okay? And that was a good relationship to have. And that's an Ava Tluya B'Davar. And after that, and he had, and they didn't have anybody else. It's not like they had a big social network of friends. That was a problem. But it's hard. Listen, you know, you have to work at Joseph and Weiss as a tailor for 30 years. What life do you have? Hitler destroyed their lives, so we can't bring proofs from them, and we can't criticize them. But yeah, and he said, I'm not watching TV for the whole year. I said, Uncle, you're only in mourning for a month. No, I'm not watching for a whole year. He didn't. But that was the excessive mourning, and he wasn't the same guy for the next 30 years. You know, he was a friend. You know, he was bitter. He was, you know, and he just couldn't, like, forgive God. And, like, it's all kinds of problems. And he just, he was dead. And you have that. And that's wrong. But, again, these people need therapy. All the Holocaust survivors, they all needed therapy. Who's going to give them therapy? But the problem is you don't have, you people who are not Holocaust survivors and have this attitude. You know, the wife's good friends, they get upset that the husband remarries. What do you get upset about? You should be happy for him. Well, no, so everyone's forgetting about her. You're supposed to forget about her, idiot! That's what the Torah says! Forgotten from the heart! Get over it! No, because we're afraid. You know we're afraid? The other women are afraid that when they die, their husband's gonna forget about them. So we've got to make sure no one's going to forget about us. No, Chazal say, Gzera alameish tishtak yishtakech min alev. Doesn't mean you forget about, you keep the pictures. But you don't think about them all day long. You're not supposed to. I can't help but think about it. When you were married, yeah, you think about each other. But you're not married anymore. It's gone. Forget it. You got to think about somebody else. You got to give your love to someone else. And that's what Hashem says, and that's the healthy way to do things. So to realize that these relationships we have, there's no such thing as an ava she'ein tluya b'davar. That love that you have is all was dependent on you being together, and now God has separated you. The love is not going to be there anymore. And don't fool yourself into thinking that it is, unless you are on a level of Yaakov Avinu. But we say, but it's not true. We don't even know where our neshamas are. How are you going to say I had a soulful relationship with this person? Use these words. Substitute heart. I feel for the person. Feeling for the person is not soulful. It's not soulful. And therefore these relationships are not permanent. And they only depend on the fact that you're there. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, yes, you've been so patient. Thank you.
Two things. One, are we to assume that after Sarah and Nathan died, never hear about Avram ever again? Do we assume that Avram...
First of all, we did.
He remarried.
He remarried Keturah.
Well, we don't really hear.
So it's nothing to do with the fact that she died.
Do we assume that Avram Avinu, the rest of his life, was on the same level of simcha in his life as he was during all the years...
Absolutely. 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 Avramino was the same level of simcha every minute of his life. Every minute of his life. He went and he had to take care of his son. He had to find a shidduch for his son. The Torah doesn't tell us anything more about him because he had nothing more to his contribution was over. You have the same thing with Yitzhak, even though Yitzhak lived many years with his wife. You know, Yitzhak gives the brachas, that's it. He's 123, right? And that's it. You don't hear anything about Yitzhak, but is Rivka still alive? In fact, the Torah doesn't say anything because that was his contribution in the eternity of the Jewish people. And now the next child takes over. But the fact that now Avram is, he's 137. He lived another 38 years. He remarried Hagar. He had, six kids from her? A busy guy. That was Hagar. Keturah was Hagar. He remarried the old wife. And he had children, and he raised the children, this with the children, and he lived a life with simcha.
So what was the level of David Yonason?
That is unique.
What is that?
What's the level of David and Yonason is also an exception to the rule. David and Yonason had a soulful relationship. He says, there are yichidei skula, unique people who mamish live in Olam Haba here. And mamish totally live with their neshamas. So those people can have that relationship.
So do we discuss that level and how to get to it?
We're going to talk about it, but like, good luck. You're not going to get to it. You know, you just forget it. I mean,
it's a little more optimistic.
First of all, it's almost impossible to be on Ava Shetluya B'Dover. The real Ava Shetluya B'Dover. You know, that's going to be hard enough. So, you know, as I preface, I said, we're learning this, number one, to know that it exists. This is part of Torah. You have to learn parts of Torah even though you can't keep them, number one. It's part of Torah. And B, this is what you're going to be experiencing when you get into the next world anyway, so you might as well get ready for it. And C, maybe you could have a little taste of it. Maybe. But remember, no one's doing these exercises anyway, so you're already 5 years away from this, right? To get from here to here in the book, It's about 5 years of exercises, and I'm guessing that most people aren't doing any exercises. So, like, good luck. We still haven't gotten to the first level of feeling that Hashem is right next to you, let alone feeling your neshama. So these are deep. You have to know the overall picture, and this helps you understand certain chazal, right? And we'll talk about it. And the truth is, you know, we have to spend more time on the other levels, but we have to learn what the whole program is. It's important to know. It's part of Torah. We have to learn it, yeah.
So when you instill spiritual development in your child, isn't that forming a connection that's going to be longer lasting? When you develop your child's spiritual...
Well, those are the kind... Yeah, you know, you'll learn Gemara together and things like that.
The Midos,
okay. But that's scratching that surface. That's good things. And that's something that... But again, once you're separated, that connection isn't there anymore.
Isn't it, though? Because that stays with them.
It stays with them, but they're there and you're here.
They remember that you're the
You know, there's no idea, you know, this idea like the seance. You know, in contact with the dead, we're coming. Yeah, forget it, they're there, you're here. It's going to be a long time until you're going to see each other again.
But if it's due to them that you have that, isn't there a connection?
You can't connect with them. They're in the other world and you're here. There's a disconnect.
Maybe it's more gratitude.
Now, it's more gratitude and things like that. There's gratitude is one thing. But active love, not past love thoughts, right? It, you do live in the present, and that's love is measured in the present. Well, I love the fact, you know, even in any aspect, you know, let's say you're a sports fan, and you're you go way back to the Leafs in '67, how you loved the Leafs, right? And now it's been 40 long years. You know, thinking back 40 years, it ain't working anymore. It ain't working anymore. That's in the past, man. It's in the past. And that's the reality. Now, don't worry. You know, you're figuring, oh, what's all this stuff? Am I ever going to love in the next world? Yeah, but you don't know what it's like. And that's what we have to define. And he's going to define it in Mirza Shem tomorrow. We'll get to this definition. And you're not going to be that thrilled with that definition because you're so out of context of that definition. You're going to say, though, that doesn't seem very happy for me because you don't understand it. And we'll read it. You're going to say, hey, that's what I'm trying to get. I'm happy with what I got now. That shows how far away we are from it. Okay, we have to stop.
Question, Rabbi.
I won't answer it till tomorrow. Question. Yeah, you can ask
Which
it.
Which soul are you going to reconnect with in the Olam Haba? First wife, second, third, or fourth?
It's not important. It's not important.
What do you mean it's not
it's
important?
It's different.
If
it's,
the soul is going
to you're going to connect the one you're meant to connect with. Even the person you're going to connect with, you won't recognize him when you get there. So it doesn't matter. You'll connect with the one that Hashem will give you the optimum growth with. The best one. Let's not get involved because then you start looking at one wife and another wife and this and that. So, well, you know, you I don't expect to be within Gan Eden, so I don't have to treat you so nicely. Yeah, but you'll come back to the primary. Who the primary one is, Hashem will let you know. But certainly you can figure it out. If you're married for 60 years to a woman and you had 8 kids with that woman, you have 50 grandchildren, then you marry this other lady and you're with her for 4 or 5 years, who do you think is the primary wife?
So your second wife is not going to reconnect with anybody, you know?
No, she was married to somebody else too.
Not necessarily.
Well, maybe in a different lifetime.
Okay.
So don't worry about it.